There's a story of a guy who wanted to go out with a beautiful woman. He was in love with her at first sight. And so he went to her to ask her if she would go out on a date with him. And she replied to him, "You know what? You're fat, bald, ugly, and besides, your wardrobe is atrocious. So no, I'm not going to go out with you. Be serious." But the guy still really loved her. And so he went on a diet, and he lost 80 pounds. And he also began to work out at the gym. He went and got a hair transplant. No, I'm not going there. Thank you very much. And he also had plastic surgery. And he bought an entirely new wardrobe. And he went back to this beautiful woman he was in love with, and he said, "What do you think?" She goes, "Wow, what a change. What a hunk. Yeah, I'll go out on a date with you." And so the big evening came, and they were going out on the date. He arrived at her home with a limo and a driver and picked her up, and he was just so excited about what was going to be a very unforgettable evening. And as they were heading out onto the street, a bolt of lightning hit him, and he fell to the ground. And as he was lying on the street dying, he cried out to God, "God, why did you let this happen? Why now in the most happiest moment in my life?" And God replied, "Sorry, Sam, I didn't recognize you." The good news is, whatever you do, God will always recognize you, all right? Nothing to worry about. And that's what we can celebrate, is whatever changes we may do in our body or our life or whatever, God knows us to the very depths of our being. In fact, if we look at Psalm 139, we read the truth that God knit us together in our mother's womb. In Isaiah 49:16, you'll read about the reality about how God has carved you on the very palm of his hand. Again, communicating the idea that in a very special way, we're a part of God's being and always will be. And also the reality that we've heard the most about, I think, is that he sacrificed a son for us, John 3:16. And what I want to share with all of us very simply today, but I think very importantly, is that in view of so great a love, embrace God. Say yes to God. You may have noticed on the announcements over the past 3 weeks, I've had three phrases, embrace God, love your neighbor, and serve the world. And starting today over the next couple of weeks, I want to take some time to look at those as themes for us in terms of how we might live the Christian life. I don't know about you, but so often in life, things can get incredibly busy and confusing. There's so many different things that we can do. And there's so many different philosophies, and there's so many different ways to look at things, and there's so many things in our to-do list. There's one thing after another, and life can get incredibly confusing. And what I want all of us to do right now is just take a step back and take stock of our lives and begin to ask ourselves the question, what is really the most important thing in terms of our spiritual life? And I think if we would listen to the words of Jesus and listen to what he has to speak to us, I think he'll give us a revelation of what really the heart of the spiritual life is. There was a teacher of the law that came to him one day with exactly that question. And he said to him, "You know, what is the greatest commandment of all? You know, how would you sum it all up?" And Jesus said to him in Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus goes on to say, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, if you were to look at your Bible and take out the New Testament, the law and the prophets still are a lot of this book. It's a huge amount of the Bible. And so for Jesus to say to us that, you know, if you were to condense it and just get it down to its basics, that's what it would be. This Jesus' Cliff Notes is what I call them. Remember the Cliff Notes, those great books you went to the night before the test that you didn't study for, that you really had to get right, and so you got those Cliff Notes and you read them so you were ready for the test? Well, this is Jesus' Cliff Notes in terms of the spiritual life. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And that's why I have phrased it, embrace God. Now, I know that's a little bit different. What, you know, Father Joe, what are you talking about, embrace God? How do I embrace God? I mean, I can't go up to God and hug him. I don't even know where God is. I can't see God. What do you mean, embrace God? Well, what I mean is to be open to God's love for you. You know, when you think of the idea of an embrace, you do think of a hug. You think of welcoming love. And the reality that we celebrate every week is that God loved us first. God is always reaching out to us in love. And his love for us invites a response. And so that's why I encourage us as we think about our spiritual life and what Jesus is speaking to us, to embrace God, to say yes to his love for us. And I think that's what Jesus is saying in this first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Love means to welcome, to entertain, to be fond of, or to love. And actually, if you look at the Greek word that Jesus uses in this particular text, it's agapeo, which is a derivative of agape. It means agape is God's unconditional love. And so even our love of God has a tinge of God's grace in it as well. For us to be able to love God in the way that Jesus is calling us to requires God's grace and requires God's presence in us, requires an openness to him. I don't know about you, but as much as in my life I have tried to love God and be open to God and do all the right things that God would have me do, so often in my life I find myself coming up short and at times incredibly frustrated. And so there is an incredible need in each one of our lives for the grace and the mercy and the presence of God and the very love of God to enable us to love him. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart. This word heart in the time in which Jesus lived meant your entire being. It meant your physical and your spiritual life. The heart was considered the center of your thought, your will, your character, your very being. And so what Jesus is saying again with this word heart is love God with the totality of who you are. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. The soul is the moral being of our life that is designed for eternity. Did you realize that every human being is going to live forever? That's what we believe. I mean, I know there's a big debate, has been over the centuries, about whether there is indeed an eternity or whether when we die, it's just over. But we believe as Christians that there is an eternity, and we believe that everybody will have an eternity. It's just a matter of where you're going to spend it. Right? Where are you going to spend that eternity? And the reality for us is to affirm the truth that our soul will live forever. There is something about us that has an eternal destiny, and that is our soul, and is an important part of our being. That's why we continue to proclaim the message that as much as we are living on this earth and we live in a material world and we're physical human beings and we enjoy this life and all that it has to give us, it is but a part of the big picture of our life. Again, as I've shared with you before, it's a grain of sand, our life here, compared to a seashore of sand of the eternity that you and I will have. And so that's our soul. And that also, we need to love the Lord our God with all of our soul, because it's a part of us that will live for him, with him forever. And then finally, our mind. That our mind is that our faculty of understanding. It's the place where good thoughts and bad thoughts are within our being. It's the place where seeds of vision are planted, and a very important part of our being. We contemplate the world with it. We consider different possibilities, and we make choices as well. What Jesus is saying to us when he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, is simply saying, love God completely. Embrace God with all that you have, because of his great love for you and for me. And I think what the Lord is saying to us is wherever you are in your life right now, whether you feel really good about God or you don't, or you don't feel anything about God at all, you could really care less about God. Whether you're going through a time of struggle or a time of great hope and triumph and realization of dreams, whether it's a time of abundance for you or a time of scarcity, wherever you are at this point in your life, Jesus is inviting us to embrace God, to say yes to God, to say yes to his love for us. Wherever you are, whatever capacity you or I have to do that in this moment, to say yes in this moment to his love. And I believe that ultimately that is a grace from God. Be open to that grace for you today. I think the reality for us is that in the midst of our own sin and brokenness, and in the midst of the sin and brokenness of others around us, it is only by the grace of God that we can begin to say yes to his great love for us and to embrace him fully and completely from the depth of our being. For me, one of the most powerful stories and examples of what it looks like to embrace God, and again, I don't know about you, but I need examples of what it looks like. One of the great examples for me of what it looks like to embrace him, I see in the life of a woman named Mary. Mary has a story in Scripture where she comes to the house of a Pharisee because she heard that Jesus is there. And Mary happened to be one of the town prostitutes, but she's obviously heard about Jesus, very touched by his message. And so she comes into his house, and she's carrying a very costly jar of perfume. And she comes to where he is, and she comes into the Pharisee's house, which would never have been allowed had he not been there. She breaks in because she desperately needs to see Jesus. And she goes to him, and she begins to cry at his feet, and she breaks open this vase of costly perfume and begins to pour it upon his feet and wet them with her tears and wipe his feet clean with her hair. And I think it is one of the most incredible and powerful and loving scenes in the entire gospel of a human being pouring out their very life at the feet of Jesus because she's so powerfully touched by his love for her and what she has heard him say. She knows that most people in town hate her. She knows what a lot of people think of her, other than the men that come to her at night. She knows she's considered to be trash by most everybody that's there. And maybe and probably for the first and only time in her life when she has heard Jesus and she is probably by Jesus in some way Jesus has touched her, either physically or spiritually, probably for the first time in her life, she knows what it is to be loved. To be loved just for who she is. To be loved in the midst of her brokenness. To be loved in the midst of her sinfulness. To be loved in the midst of where she is right at that moment, the Lord reached out to her in love, and she reached out to Jesus to embrace him as well. Ann Ortland wrote a little reflection on this called Mary Broke Her Vase. Broke it? How shocking. How controversial. Was everybody doing it? Was it a vase-breaking party? No. She did it all by herself. What happened then? The obvious. All the contents were forever released. She could never hug her precious nard to herself again. The need for Christians everywhere, and nobody is exempt, is to be broken. The vase has to be smashed. Christians have to let life out. It will fill the room with sweetness. And the congregation will all be broken shards mingling together for the first time. If you know one another as broken people, you're ready to get on with the church service. Are you hearing this message today? And are you hearing it in the most important place? And that is in the depth of your heart. I know that for many of you over the past few weeks and months, in your own life and in the lives of those that you love and you count as friends, you have deeply experienced what it means to be broken. And you and I, as we are often wont to do, spend an awful lot of energy and time trying to put the broken pieces together. But I would encourage you along with me this day as we reflect on God's call in our life to embrace Him, to accept where we are in life at this moment, and to accept that there might be pieces of our life that are broken, horribly broken, and to pour them out at His feet, to allow the perfume, if you will, of your very life to be poured out before Him as an offering to Him. And in doing that, in faith, to reach out and to embrace His love for you. So often we think we have to come to God all put together, all perfectly right, having it all together and all figured out, having it all done in our own power and all strength in order to be pleasing to God, and nothing could be further from the truth. But rather, I would submit to you that we should come to Him this day and embrace Him and follow the example of our sister Mary, who came to Him weeping because of His great love for her, and allow that love to deeply touch us. Allow that love to draw us closer to Him, to come to Him in the very depth of our sin, Him seeing us for exactly who we are, and saying, come, repent. Let me love you, and let me heal you, and let me cleanse you, and let us embrace one another. Beloved of God, this morning with me, will you embrace God afresh? Let us pray. You mean I don't have to have it all together? You mean I don't have to be perfect? You mean I don't have to please everybody around me and put on the good air and make everybody think I'm someone I'm not? You mean I can really be who I am, broken and all, and come to His feet and He will still love me and embrace me? Yes. It's exactly what the Lord is saying to us today. So, Father, we come to You. We come to You just as we are. We come to You because You love us and You stand before us with open arms. So loving, so gracious, so merciful, and You've been waiting for a long time. We come as we are in the midst of our own sin, sins of anger and hatred, sins of lust and gossip, sins of pride and arrogance. So many sins, Lord. So overwhelming. So many broken lives, cancer, and heart attacks, dementia. So many things that break our hearts in relationship to our lives and the people that we love. Lord, we come to You and break the vase of our life before You and allow the perfume of the very essence of who we are to spill forth before Your feet. And Lord, as we cry before You, we're before You with open arms. We say yes to Your embrace, and we embrace You, Lord, and we love You. We pray that You would walk with us in the gift of this life that You've given us. We say yes to Your love. We say yes to Your winsome and powerful and overwhelming and beautiful and majestic and empowering love. We say yes to that in the depth of our spirit right now. Be our Father, be our Lord, be our Spirit, be the love of our life. And comfort us in our moment right now, wherever we are. Embrace us and embrace the friends and the people that we love who are struggling right now and broken just like us. Be with us, Jesus, because we need You right where we are. And we embrace You with all that we are. Amen. Amen.